What a call to the first Sunday of Lent. Welcome, church. Good to see you today. It's good to be in worship together. Let's remember this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to all of you who are connecting with us online at this live stream or even later. We are glad that you connect and worship with us. Welcome. The ushers are passing the connection pads here, and if you're at home or online, let us know you're worshiping with us. If you can, please go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and help us to know that. If this is your first time with us, either online or in person, we welcome you. We're glad you're among us. Here we have cards, welcome cards in the pew rack in front of you. If you fill that out and leave it with one of our greeters, they'll hand you a gift bag. And online, we invite you to email us and let us know how we can connect with you as well. Let us know how we can pray for you. Use the cards provided here or go to our website, click on that prayer request button, and help us to know how we can celebrate with you and share concern with you at the same time. Next Sunday is Time Change Sunday, so we're looking forward to that, spring forward, of course, and being in church together on that day. Tomorrow, March 7, Monday, there are two opportunities for more detailed information and explanations about the Standing on the Promises initiative. So at 10:30 in Finn Hall or at 6:30 p.m. in Finn Hall tomorrow, you're invited to come. If you need childcare, let us know you're coming, please, and we appreciate you doing that. As we move into Lent, there are lots of opportunities. You can go to our website on the front page. You'll find those opportunities and see how you might connect and deepen your spirituality on this journey towards Good Friday and up to Easter. On this first Sunday in Lent, we're starting a new sermon series called Standing on the Promises, and I invite you to stand with me now and to sing together this grand opening hymn, number 159, Lift High the Cross.
Thank you. to be in worship together. Will you please join with me in our affirmation of faith as printed in our bulletin? God leads and we follow, knowing that God promises to go before us and be with us. For in Jesus Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. God speaks and we follow God's commands, knowing that God's promises are good. For in Jesus Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. God calls us and we follow God's path, knowing that God promises to provide. For in Jesus Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. God sacrifices for us, and we sacrifice for God, knowing that God's unfailing love is promised to us through Jesus. For in Jesus Christ, every one of God's promises is a yes. For these reasons, it is through Christ that we say yes and amen to the glory of God. For our lives and our ministry, we are standing on the promises of God. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We come not as strangers, but we are your children and you are our Father. We were not part of the family at one time, but we have been born again and made part of your kingdom. And because of that, we have the wonderful prospect of living with you, O God. We thank you today for your faithfulness and your mercy and grace. You're always there when we need you. You never turned us away. You never failed us. You never failed us to fulfill your promises to us and to your word. In times of trouble and trials, confusion, and when the road seems long, you have been right there with us and you have helped us through. And we give you thanks and praise today. Thank you for all that you have done for us, but most of all, we thank you for who and what you are. Heavenly Father, we pray for the needs of our people today. We have come with individual and very personal need. Maybe somebody knows about the struggle and burden we are facing, but you know better, O Jesus. And we invite us to bring everything to you in prayer. So we reach out to you, O God, knowing that you have already reached out to us. We pray that you meet the need of our people this morning and give us the assurance that you are answering our prayers. We pray for many different kinds of physical needs, financial needs, and there are those with emotional need, O God. Some need healing of relationships. Some need comfort from losing their loved ones. Whatever situation we found ourselves in, to God, we bring them to you because we believe you are God who can change our situations at any time. We ask for your divine anointing on the word when it's being spoken this morning, that we may all have an open and obedient heart that will help us to stand grounded on the promises of God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 269. We're going to sing verses 1 and 5. Hymn 269, Lord, throughout these 40 days, verses 1 and 5.
Thank you. For almost 100 years, McFarland has faithfully embraced and shared the life-changing, world-changing good news of God's love in Jesus Christ, believing that God would use this church to advance God's promises to redeem lives and transform the world. Generation after generation has stood together. Because so many have stood on the promises of God through times of great challenge and in seasons of growth and expansion, we are part of this church at a unique moment in time when we are both meeting current challenges and advancing effective ministry with vigor and adaptivity. As we approach our centennial in 2024, I believe we are called to take action to secure another century of high-impact ministry.
McFarland has a deep history of standing on God's promises in the here and now, knowing that when we stand faithfully, we know that our future is secure in God's faithfulness. In 1890, Mr. and Mrs. McFarland moved to Norman to begin cattle farming and open a feed store. Tragically, on July 28, 1893, their infant son, Robert Jr., died of typhoid fever. The McFarlands would later give all the funding needed to build a new Methodist church in Norman out of gratitude for the love and care they received from the Methodists after the death of their son. On Sunday, April 5, 1998, a groundbreaking gala for the Spirit is Building campaign for a new addition to the original building was held. By December of that year, 785 families or individuals had pledged $4,048,031 so that our growing church would have adequate space to continue to make disciples of Jesus Christ.
Now, it is 2022, and in the midst of stressors and pressures, McFarland continues to change lives that change the world. This past year, we've averaged almost 1,800 in worship, with 45 new members joining our church and celebrating 26 baptisms. Even in times of social distancing and hybrid moments, we've had over 500 active volunteers and 500 participants in Sunday school and small groups. In order to carry this momentum into the next 100 years, we are launching a 3-year generosity initiative called Standing on the Promises, Securing the Next Century.
We know that if we are to continue offering excellent worship, music, discipleship, mission, and care ministries, we must upgrade and maintain our historic building. Our Standing on the Promises effort replaces a nearly obsolete HVAC system and upgrades pipes from 1924. Imagine a Sunday in August with no air conditioning, Sunday school in January with no heat, costly repairs because of water leaks, and other such problems. We need to create an environment where our attention is on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ rather than impending mechanical failures. McFarland Sanctuary was designed to be an inspiring place where everyone could worship. The beautifully carved wood, the stained glass windows, the pipe organ, they all offer a grand yet peaceful space for wonderful worship. And any upgrading to the 1924 building requires an increased firewall between the sanctuary and the rest of the building so that we can avoid potentially damaging sprinklers in the sanctuary. It also requires replacing the existing elevator at the southwest entry. We desire to give children, youth, and everyone the very best experiences on Sundays and always, but we have a constantly failing fresh air unit in the new part of our building that results in condensation and humidity issues. The total estimated cost for these renovations is $4.2 million, with the intention that the project will be totally funded by this 3-year initiative. We believe God has a vision for McFarland to be a high-impact church in Norman, a church that engages and redeems persons and families, a church that transforms the well-being of our community, our region, and even places in remote locations all around the world.
We also have some surprising, exciting, and encouraging news. We have an unsolicited, donor-initiated gift that began by the initiating work of God who laid an unavoidable calling upon the donor's heart to underwrite the construction of a new mission center to replace the 87-year-old house that is home to our food pantry ministries. The donor affirms the necessity of the repairs and upgrades to the main building, so the donor is providing a dollar-for-dollar, up to $2 million matching gift, matching the first $2 million pledged to the main building projects with $2 million to fund a new mission center. Therefore, we now believe that the time is right to say yes to that new mission center. The addition of concurrently constructing a two-story mission center brings the total cost of our project to $6.2 million, and this first gift covers about one-third of the total project cost. But funding the entirety of the project begins with all of us. We are asking you to go on a spiritual journey with God and your family. Pray that God would multiply our efforts to make disciples of Christ. Pray that God would do abundantly more than we ask or imagine. Stand side by side with your church family. Put your yes on the table. And grow intentionally. Attend each Sunday from March 6 through April 10. Engage in the Standing on the Promises study with your small group. Ask God to show you what it looks like for you to give in a way that deepens your faith and blesses you. Won't you join us and consider what you might do and how it might add value and meaning to your life? When you see the ministry necessity of the projects, say yes and amen and decide to give sacrificially. Let's do all in our ability, everything we can, to secure McFarland's next century of Christ-centered ministry according to the teachings and example of Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior for the world, together standing on the promises of God.
Well, church, thank you. Thank you for all of your support of our mission and ministry. And I want to say to our guests today, thank you for allowing us some time today to focus on facilities and funding. We try not to do a lot of that, but sometimes it's the right time to do it. The fact that last year those who committed to the annual budget gave 109% of what was committed testifies to the strong confidence and faithfulness that is resident in this church. As we launch this Standing on the Promises, Securing the Next Century initiative, I'm asking of you what I'm asking of myself, that we prepare to make commitments above and beyond our annual giving. So this is a five-week journey, and this is our guidebook. You probably received this in the mail. If you didn't, let us know. We'll make sure you get one. It has the study guide for our Sunday school and small groups. The lessons are in here. If you're not in a class or group and you'd like to be, let us know. We can help you with that. If your class is not following this curriculum in these weeks, then you can use this at home as a family or as a person and follow the guide there as well. I really believe that for decades to come, McFarland will be, in fact, a high-impact, unified, and thriving church filled with great relationships, sharing the good news of God's redeeming grace in Christ in ways that actually is changing lives that change the world. But church, we do have some facilities and mechanical systems, as you heard, challenges that, if not fixed, will distract and diminish from our vision. Now is the time for our concerted action in securing the next century that begins very soon in 2024. So completing this commitment card that came along with that booklet, if you didn't see it, look in that envelope or we'll get you another one. This commitment card is very important because it represents the way that we take personal responsibility for the expression of our faith in these kinds of financial ways, which has always been a part of the church since the day that Jesus first called disciples to come alongside him and go with him. Making commitments and being generous has always been key to our personal spiritual responsibility and of engaging in something bigger and more enduring than ourselves. I'm not asking you to make a commitment today. I'm asking you to to commit to journey through Lent towards that April 10 Commitment Sunday, and that together, God will use all of us, all of our engagements and gifts, to bring about the future of this church for the world. Thank you. We're going to give our gifts now. You can give them here. You can give them online, etc., in all the ways we have available. Ushers, receive our offerings.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, I'm leaning, leaning.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 and 57 through 62. Hear these words. When the days draw near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my Father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, and as far for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. We come as your people, O God. We come listening for the voice of your Spirit. Our lives, the things in our lives, the circumstances and relationships and dynamics need you, need your attention. And our church and our mission needs you. We need to hear from you. And so speak to us in these moments through these words, out of these scriptures, so that we might hear what you're saying. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. One of the things that Elizabeth and I enjoy doing is to go spelunking through antique and vintage stores. And I'm always searching for the books, you know, the old books in poetry or theology or maybe philosophy even, or biblical studies for sure. And on a September day in 1990, in an antique shop, my eye landed on what turned out to be an 1887 copy of a small book by the rather famous English 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Well, after a century of wear, the cover was faded but beautiful. A rather rich purple cloth covered this hardback book. It's artistically done with all kinds of artistic diagrams on the front and gold embossed lettering. In the old German script, the title, Nach der Verheißung, or According to the Promise. Well, I admired the little book, carried it around, showed it to Elizabeth, and then I put it back, thinking, I don't really need another book. Unknown to me, Elizabeth bought it and kept it. Now, I had just taken a full-time church in Duncan, Oklahoma, and we had two young children, and on top of that, it was time for me to complete one more seminar in Fort Worth, Texas, at TCU, and to make that weekly drive, because this was before online classes. And then to write a dissertation to complete the PhD degree in New Testament studies. And with all of the obligations of ministry and new church and family, I began to doubt completing that work. When would I do that? How would I fit it in? I felt called to pursue it as a part of my call to ministry, but I was on the verge of turning back after putting my hand to the plow, as the saying goes. Not long after that, through prayer and consultation and conversation, I decided to complete what I had started, what I felt called to do. And it was then that Elizabeth gave me that book, with a note inside it, inside an envelope that said, every recommitted scholar needs a new old book now and then. Love, Elizabeth. I decided to follow through, to go all the way to the Amen. So fast forward 32 years to December last year. Our leadership team here at McFarland had already settled on standing on the promises, securing the next century as the theme for this initiative. We had already prayerfully settled on texts from the Gospel of Luke for this series of sermons and had chosen the theme scripture from 2 Corinthians 1, for in Christ Jesus every one of God's promises is a yes. And for this reason, it is through Christ that we say the Amen to the glory of God. Well, one evening, I'm perusing through our bookshelves looking for a book at home, and I saw the thin edge of this book, P. peeking out at me, that tattered, faded purple edge, and pulled it out and realized then it was that old book, According to the Promise. I opened it and found again that personal note from Elizabeth, marking that moment of recommitment, of saying yes and amen to complete the work that I believed would hone my biblical and interpretation skills. I opened the little book and found the last chapter titled Jesus and the Promises, and below that title, our theme scripture for this initiative. Spurgeon wrote in that chapter, "As all the stars are in the sky and all the waves are in the sea, so all the covenant blessings, that is, all the promises of God, are in Christ." I felt that moment full and resonant with the Spirit of God. The book and the memory opened me up to realize in a deeper way that this moment in time for our church and our mission was a time of calling, being called to and being ready to celebrate, standing on our promises in a significant moment of decision. A call for us to set our faces, our minds, and our hearts to enter this journey toward Commitment Sunday with an attitude of yes and an expectation of amen to the glory of God. So in today's reading from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus realizes that he has come to his critical turning point. He, quote, sets his face with determination to go to Jerusalem and to the cross. He says an intentional and declaratory yes to the completion of his mission. And what follows in the Gospel of Luke from chapter 9 through 19 is what is known as the travel narrative. Nearly half of the book of the Gospel of Luke focused on Jesus making his way now to Jerusalem and to the cross with those who follow him. And for centuries, this journey of Jesus and his self-denial has served as a model for our annual Lenten journey from Ash Wednesday up to Easter. Lent is a time of introspection and renewal of commitment to follow the way of Jesus. In this season, it is essential and important that we consider God's leadership in our personal, our business, our career, our family lives. And this year, it is also necessary and timely that we seek to discover how much each of us can do now to secure the next century of high-impact, effective ministry in and through our buildings and facilities. Such financial stewardship, over and above our annual giving, is part of our overall response to the love and the grace of God. I want to acknowledge again to our guests, especially, and to all of you, that this sermon, of course, now, as you see, is largely about launching this holy initiative to raise funds for our beautiful and functional campus and facilities. I want to thank our guests for allowing us to focus on some practical funding matters. Of course, I do believe that the principles apply to our lives in other ways. But I want to ask a question that you may be asking. Why is this initiative holy? Because, as this building and the old food pantry house has done for almost 100 years, facilities facilitate. Facilities facilitate worship, discipleship, care ministries, and missions. Facilities make possible the fascinatingly holy work of children and youth being formed in the faith through music and biblical discovery and missions adventures and more. Facilities energize and sustain the work of the people of God as we embrace the digital expression of church alongside the physical experience of the gathered church. Facilities become the hub of digital production and communication. like a family needs a house with communication systems, a church of ministry needs a house with working systems of electricity and plumbing and heating and air conditioning and clean air and fire safety and space for leading and loving and learning and living out our high-impact ministries. So in today's text, Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem, to his crucifixion, to convince the world of God's promise to champion liberation and redemption for all the world, and so that all the promises of God will find their yes in his faithfulness. At this point, Jesus is still calling followers and attracting followers. And in this text, we read, as they were going along the way, there are some people who want to say yes. We find two degrees of readiness. There are those, first of all, who quickly step up and say, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus, noting that foxes have dens and birds have nests, but that he has no pillow. He has no place to lay his head. What he's saying to them is he's not just hanging around their home territory. We're not going to stay close to your den and close to your nest. You say you're going to follow me? We're going somewhere. We're going to Jerusalem. Jesus is saying that he has a mission that extends beyond the family home as the only priority. To say yes to him is to go on a journey with him to join his mission. Secondly, there are those who say, yes, but first let me do this or that. And the pungent gist of Jesus' response can be interpreted as, well, you know, I hear you, but I'm inviting you to sort out your priorities and arrive at the moment when you can clearly and actively prioritize the kingdom of God. When you are ready to demonstrate your readiness to follow through from the yes all the way to the amen. Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem, death and death by crucifixion, and he asked those who want to put their hand to the plow, who want to participate in the work of God, what God is doing in the world through the message and the manner of Jesus, to take the time to know when they are ready to set their face, to decide for this mission before them. When they are ready to say a yes that includes a commitment to the amen of seeing it through. So Jesus embodies all the promises of God when he sets his face toward the cross and then calls others to follow. Jesus will go all the way from this yes until he finds himself in Jerusalem and at the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing in prayer, saying, yes, but if I could avoid this crucifixion, God, could you take it away? And then he quickly affirms that he has indeed put his hand to the plow, set his face to this, and so rather than turning back, he turns his face more resolutely to the mission and says his amen when he says, not my will, but yours, O God. He knew his time had come to see it through. Well, McFarland, we find ourselves at an opportune moment of history, a moment critical to the future life of the church. And like Jesus, it's not a time without its challenges. There are temptations to say no. There is anxiety that tempts us once more to say, yes, but not now, or just no, not yet, or maybe, but not for me. Our building, this sacred facility, needs important and future securing repairs and upgrades as we approach the 100th year of this house and the 90th year of the food pantry house. The building is not the essence of the church, of course, but it is essential to effective churching by the people who are the church. Air conditioning is not one of the Ten Commandments. And we don't hear Jesus saying, blessed are those who have air conditioning. But we know that heating and cooling is now a necessity for us to do what we do. We know the building and its safety and functionality is necessary both for gathering and ministry, like for those two baptisms we had this morning, those two little guys, Bo and Bridger. About 100 years ago, after the construction of King Solomon's temple, that first temple, it needed repairs, needed upgrades. And the scripture records that under King Joash, they restored the house of God to its proper condition and strengthened it. The schoolhouse where I attended elementary school, middle school, had no air conditioning. Even with the windows open in August and into September, it was warm. And in April and May, it got warm again. Teachers endured while students would languish in the heat of the afternoon, sweating, falling asleep, getting cranky, ending up at the principal's office. And then one summer, my dad got the job of installing the electrical lines so that we could put window units in all of the classrooms. Well, that long red brick building with wings on both ends was built on a concrete foundation, and it had a tunnel around the perimeter in the foundation. In that rectangular tunnel was to go the lines for the electricity. Now, there were entry doors, of course, trap doors in the floors in some of the classrooms where you could get into the tunnel, don't tell the students. But there was no way to get 20-foot sticks of conduit piping into those. And so we had to go to the corners of each of those pieces of the building and drill through those thick concrete walls so we could push the pipes through there. And it was a lot of hard work, I thought, what seemed to me like a lot of sacrifice. It took daily commitment to crawl into those tunnels, scoot along in the dust and the spiders with cords and lights and tools and dragging all that stuff and do the tedious head bumping, elbow skinning work of installing those electrical lines. But listen, that August when we stepped into those rooms and it was cool. We knew it was worth it. We all knew, like the school board knew, and all the citizens who supported that effort. We knew that the time had come to make those upgrades in support of the mission of teaching the next generations. McFarland, we have come to a point in time when the time has come for us to wait no longer. We have immediate need to renovate and upgrade essential mechanical and fire protection systems to this exquisitely beautiful, enduringly functional, and missionally strategic house of the Lord. We also have true and significant need to replace the food pantry house with a new home, a mission center for food pantry and for other emerging ministries so that we can grow and expand our missions ministries, the high-impact ministry for our community and beyond. And so today I'm asking you to go on a journey together with those sitting with you in the pews, those connecting with you online, people in that house and this house, and all of us coming together. I'm asking you to go on a journey with Elizabeth and me. We have been praying and we have said yes to make a commitment. And we're choosing not to do some particular home improvements and foregoing a particular trip so that we can give more to the improvements on the house of God. Now, I'm reticent to say that, but I'm saying it not to brag in any way, but just to say we're in with you, to lead, to encourage. We will continue to pray towards that time when we make our amen commitment, that final commitment, about how we can give sacrificially and in proportion to how God has blessed us. We believe, and I believe, that this church is absolutely essential to the mission of God in Norman and beyond. I believe the time is now. I believe the $2 million unsolicited donor-initiated matching gift to ensure both the raising of funds for the pipes and HVAC and all of that, plus building a new mission center, that testifies to the blessing of God on the necessity of this moment in time. Again, I'm not asking you to make a commitment. Today, I'm asking you to say yes to discerning what that commitment will be. I'm asking you to take that commitment card and put it somewhere in your house and let it be a reminder to pray about yes and amen. I'm asking you to look forward to that day before April 10th when you complete that. I'm asking you to make a discernment for this effort as a major part of your Lenten journey. I'm asking you to begin to pray and discern what it means for you to say, yes, I am open to considering, to worshiping, to hearing sermons and stories of our church's impact, engaging in a companion study in the Standing on the Promises book, in my Sunday school class, or at home personally. I'm asking you to begin with an open heart, an open mind, a yes to exploring and discerning, to being open to God's leading, leading each and every one of us to a strong amen, to a commitment by April 10. It will take all of us and each of us doing all we can to do this important work of standing on the promises, securing the next century. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you our thanks and praise for what we see in Jesus, all your promises coming true for our lives, for the world, and the part we play in that. Now we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds. Bless us for the journeys we're upon. Give us guidance, we pray. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. As we come to Holy Communion today, we of course want you to know, if you're a guest, that this is open to you, this is open to everyone. Also on this day, when we have Holy Communion, the first Sunday of the month, we receive offerings for our utilities assistance ministry, and many of you know you can leave those here on the altar, not as payment, but as gratitude for all that we do. We'll invite you to come, and we have small cups with bread on one side and juice in the other. And if you're a guest and this is new to you, just open the bread side first and then open the juice side, and it works well that way. I'll invite you just to come down the aisles. You can be at the altar, kneel, and pray as long as you want, and then go back to your seats. And so if you turn in your hymnals to number 12, page 12, we'll join in this service of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your laws. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us make our private and silent confessions. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, both here in the house and those who are at home. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We invite the choir to come, and we invite the ushers to go ahead and bring people down to the front of the aisle. As we prepare to come to this table of grace, come to the table. Come, come, come.
our closing hymn, 374, Standing on the Promises, verses 1 and 4, 374.
Church, it's good to be together. It's good to be connected with you who are online. Together we can stand on the promises for all of our lives and for the world and even for the church. And now may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace in trusting the promises of God that your lives may be filled with hope by the promise and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.